How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I went out last night, and I'm hungover today. I was at the Hammerstein Ballroom for AEW Dynamite. They taped Dynamite at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Sold out, about 1,500 people in that building. My favorite place to go see wrestling. I'm going to discuss the experience without doing any spoilers, okay? You're not going to get any spoilers on this. It was a lot of fun. I had a really fun night. A lot of fun stuff going on. Continental Classic is happening. Actually, this is a great tournament. I really enjoy this tournament that they're doing. We'll talk about that. We had an afternoon collision show with a new champion last night. Also, AAA ran a show yesterday. People were surprised. I don't know. Did WWE not do a good job at marketing this? Because there were two scenarios. One, people didn't realize that it was an afternoon collision. I have no idea why. And AAA was running a show yesterday. And nobody was talking about it until it happened, which there's some news out of here. Dominic got injured in the main event right near the end. He teamed up with El Grande Americano to face his father and Rey Fénix. It was Rey Fénix, right? Yes. No. Yes. Okay. Just making sure. I told you, I'm a little off today. We're going to talk about this and, of course, SmackDown, WWE going into Royal Rumble season, AEW, some interesting comments. Tony Khan made a very interesting comment yesterday, okay? I will talk about that because that went online. He made a comment about Madison Square Garden and that being the first venue he wanted to run, and they blocked him. We'll talk about this and a whole lot of other stuff. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Last night, I was in New York City. Rich and I went to the Hammerstein Ballroom for the taping of AEW Dynamite. You know, it's interesting that how they do these tapings. We had a great dinner. We went to Nick and Steph's, the New York institution. If you're going to the Garden, you're going to a Rangers game, you're going to a Knicks game, you stop by Nick and Steph's. You have a porterhouse for two at the bar. You get a couple sides. You get a couple dirty martinis. And you're ready to go watch wrestling, I'll tell you. After that, my producers actually, I got a funny story. We were with somebody and they thought he was MG, our producer, and he was asking him all these questions about the production of the show and why he's not allowed on the other shows. And the guy goes, dude, no, different guy. I thought that was funny.
So I have an imposter? Is that what you're telling me?
You do have an imposter, dude. You have an imposter. You know, I'll do like a little summary of this because a lot of people were asking me today, you know, how was it? It was great. I'm very curious when this airs on Wednesday, how it comes off on TV. The loudness versus the not loudness. It was a really good show. It was a lot of fun. I don't know. The energy compared to last year may be a little different, but I'm curious how it's going to come off on TV. Last year felt more of a party because they were running it because it was the first time they were running it. This year was a little different, but still a fantastic show. I'm not going to spoil anything. But one thing that Tony said, and I found this interesting, you know, I had heard this. I know that they had interest in running the Garden. Tony's pick for the first Dynamite was Madison Square Garden. And I find it very interesting that he's bringing up the Garden now. Obviously, they were at the Hammerstein, but I will tell you, I predict they're running New York probably the first 6 months of the year for a pay-per-view. And I will tell you that if they could run New York City, they will. Now, I don't know if the Garden is even remotely possible. We have the Barclays Arena also here. I don't know if that's remotely possible. But that's the only other options you have in New York City, unless you're going to UBS, which is not in the city. So I found it interesting that he mentioned the Garden after I had heard some stuff. So listen, Could he sell out the Garden? 130% AEW could sell out the Garden for the first show. I don't know if that's even remotely possible because of their relationship with WWE. But I thought that was interesting that he mentioned that. See, I did not hear him say it in the building. This is what my producer was asking me. Did you hear Tony say this? You can't hear him because he was doing the Tony yell. You know what I mean, MG?
Yes.
Hey, have a great show. Like it's like echoing. It's echoing in that building. So I couldn't understand half of what he was saying when he was
Tony,
yelling
that's
on,
what
the,
microphones
on the
are for.
Well, he did have a
Someone
microphone.
Needs to explain that to you.
He did have a microphone. Yeah, he did have a microphone.
Well,
so,
maybe like he needs to hold it back a little then.
I don't know, maybe. But interesting. I thought that was interesting that he said he wanted to run the Garden. Now that would make the most sense, you know, to run the Garden. If you're in New York, you want to run the Garden, but that'll make it difficult. We'll see what happens there. But AEW is a lot of fun yesterday. I had a blast. Saw a lot of people that cover pro wrestling. Mike Johnson was sitting in front of me. I was harassing him the whole show. Just bothering him. It's great. Let's talk about some wrestling. We had a one-hour collision. Since we're on AEW, let's talk about this. I'm really enjoying this tournament. I don't know about you guys. We had a Gold League match. Jack Perry defeated Mike Bailey. Mike Bailey has 6 points. Jack Perry has three, so now he's on the board. Eddie Kingston defeated Nathan Cruz from the Grizzled Young Vets. They continue that on Dynamite, by the way. Little spoiler. Alex Windsor. This was interesting. Alex Windsor defeated Mercedes Moné to win the Rev Pro Undisputed British Women's Championship. Windsor knocked Mercedes down to 10 belts now. So this was a unified belt. This was two titles.
Yes.
How do you think they're going to do this? She's going to keep dropping, and then they're going to rebuild her for the world championship?
It feels that that's kind of where they're going with it, which I'm okay with because they know what they have with her, and they're trying to do something to kind of get people more on board with her, telling this like rebuild story. Maybe that's how it works. I don't know.
I don't know. I hope they do something good because, you know, there's a lot of she's interesting because when you look at that roster and how everybody kind of meshes, they're married to each other. She's not really married to anybody. She has random matches and won random titles, and then now she's losing them because they need to take the titles off of these off of her. But I guess every couple of weeks or so, she loses a title by the new year. You could have her, you know, a couple of weeks into the new year, you could have her kind of say, like, I got to rebuild myself. She starts having, preliminary matches and works her way back up. I don't know.
Well, she's got all these indie titles. She's got all these overseas titles. So you think that's going to take a minute to drop those back?
I don't know. I mean, it's easier just to bring those people in.
Yeah.
Instead of her going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're Tony, you kind of want this to be part of your story. So why not? Why not do it that way?
I guess either way works. But, you know, those small promotions benefit greatly from having her on the card. So if they can, they probably would bring her in. So I have some news here for you on the airing of these shows.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at HBO Max right now. And right now it's listed, AEW is listed Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
I guess that
interesting.
On New Year's Eve at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. That actually makes sense, right? Earlier?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm doing my New Year's Eve at 2:30.
Oh, I know why.
Why?
I wonder.
Is there a game?
I wonder. No, whatever the Christmas story, that 24 hours of
that
probably
what it
starts
is?
At 8 o'clock. I bet that's what it is.
Is that what it is? It's possible. I haven't checked it.
Yeah, we're doing.
I don't
this
know
on
how.
Fly,
I don't think it's going to do
I'm
great numbers.
No,
I don't think. I don't even think that's possible. Considering, you know, they did pretty decent with the numbers on Wednesday, considering Trump had a 9 p.m. state of the, I guess, country address.
Mm-hmm.
They hung on with a 500,000 views, so that didn't really impact them as much as people anticipated.
Mental note, wrestling fans are not into politics.
Oh, no, they're very into politics. Very. You look at my timeline. I like to keep everybody in a box. I like to go to political people for my politics. I like to go to wrestling people for my wrestling. I don't like the two. I don't like my political people talking about wrestling, and I don't like my wrestling people talking about politics. I like to keep everybody in a box, separate.
One other thing. Too many things are spilled over.
Yeah, give me.
Sorry. One other thing on programming, and then the AEW, the Collision show will be Thursday at 9.
Yeah.
So Christmas night, which is good.
Is being filmed.
Traditionally, yeah.
It's being filmed as we speak. Actually, no, it might have been wrapped up by now because it's a 4 p.m. Okay. Filming today at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Fair.
I'm curious on as far as today versus yesterday, because I went to all of them last year.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Dynamite, I went to Collision, and I went to Ring of Honor. So I'm curious about today and the taping there. When we come back, a lot of WWE to talk about and the aftermath of John Cena's retirement. And Gunther and everything else that happened there. I got to tell you, that Gunther heat, people lost their minds over John Cena losing. Lost their minds on his retirement. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. This week, it was the topic of conversation around everywhere, John Cena's retirement. A lot of people upset at that finish. We touched on it. I touched on it all week. But a lot of people were upset at that finish. I did not find it as much of a problem. The conversation around the time-honored tradition and what you're supposed to do on the way out versus what they did with Sting and what they did with Flair, now with Cena. Listen, I think every scenario is different, right? Every scenario is different. It is not a hill I'm willing to die on to argue that he should or should not have won. They're planning something. If Gunther doesn't become the biggest monster in that company now, it's definitely a mistake. You beat John Cena. You beat Superman. Now what are you going to do? You can't have Gunther go back and just have regular competitive matches with people that are not on that level, which he probably will. I mean, it's wrestling. That's what they do. But I would like to see a bigger storyline here. Who retires AJ? Not AJ Lee. AJ Styles.
Well, I think they set that up Monday.
Yeah.
So it looks like maybe that's where they're going with him.
You know, who retires Randy Orton? Who retires Brock Lesnar? You want to put major heat on him? Have him take out Hunter. Have him take him out. Make him into a monster. You need a major heel like that. If you don't have a strong heel, then your baby faces are just rah-rahing themselves. I kind of like this. What they did here. And you know, I saw people getting hysterical. And they're telling people how to think about this. Who cares? It's a TV show. If you enjoyed it, that's great. If you didn't, it was an aspect of the program that you didn't really love. I didn't mind it. Did I like the smile and the smirk? I think he attempted something with that. It just didn't look as smooth as I thought it would. You know, it's probably what they thought would happen.
Well,
but
you know where that
is fine.
You know, well, there's a story there because that's the same thing Pat McAfee did when he lost to Gunther. He did same thing. Yes. So I don't know if it had anything to do with it. But you and I talked about this on one of our other shows, and it just occurred to me after all the heat that the new fans don't care about our tradition as longtime wrestling
but
fans.
But how would they even know about it? Like, here's the truth, okay? Here's the reality. The people listening to the show, I love you guys so much. This is a great aspect of my life that I could share with you guys. I love talking to you guys about wrestling, but we are the 1% here. We are a small microcosm. Do you think my son and my daughter know anything about, well, you know, on your way out, you better drop it to put over, put somebody else over? They don't know any of that. And why should they? They shouldn't. They shouldn't know any of it. To them, it's John Cena lost to this guy, and I hated it. But that's the natural feeling you should have at this. That is the most natural response to this. John Cena's the good guy. He's the big star. He's retiring. I want to see him win for one last time. I never want to see him lose. I should be upset every time he loses. I shouldn't go online and start analyzing how good of a loss John Cena had versus, you know, a win. That is not the real world. The real world is looking at it. And I got to tell you, I got messages from people. They were so angry that Cena lost, but not angry as far as, you know, Hunter should have booked it differently. Angry that John Cena lost. And that's the most natural response that you could possibly have if you're a fan of his. I think, you know, it got the attention they wanted. They wanted this attention. Whether or not they wanted people chanting AEW during that presser or the post show, that's a whole different story. But it got the response. It villainized this guy, and it seen a loss on his way out. They got exactly what they wanted.
And another thing, I don't know if you remember, and on Raw with Gunther, when he came out, I was getting Roman Reigns after WrestleMania. Was that 2017 against The Undertaker?
Yeah.
Was that the year? They did that, and just I was like, wow, same vibe, same energy.
Fans
were not having it.
This is, and I was talking to someone yesterday about this. This company is so unpredictable now. It's not Vince McMahon's company. And what would Vince have done? The argument that Vince would have done a better job with this. Vince would have done exactly this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should this be the case in every scenario? The time-honored tradition? No. There's no. It's. There's no, that whole thing is gone. I think if it makes sense. If you want to end it on a feel good, you end it on a feel good. If you want people disappointed and hate this new heel, this is what you do. Or not a new heel, but new monster for them to this level. I was fine with it. You know, it was what it was. You guys know how I feel about WWE. I tell you guys how I watch WWE at this point, because if I watch it as a professional wrestling show, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I can't do that. I have to put it in its own box, and I watch it for what it is. It is a highly, highly produced variety television show that has wrestling. For years, you know, what I said was that show, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, was a television show about a family that owns a promotion or a company, and the employees are just lunatics. That's what that show was for a very long time. Now it's become something unrecognizable to many people. It's such a large presence. Everything that they do, it's larger than life. You know, listen, I very much like it. It's just very different. You have to present it differently. SmackDown this week, that show was so different than what AEW put out. Yes, you know, what I watched AEW, and that's fine. That's great. You need the difference. You need the difference. Talking about SmackDown. Damian Priest kicked off SmackDown, which led to a brawl with Aleister Black and Zelina Vega. All right. I love Damian. He's fantastic. And I like Aleister, too.
I feel like this program's kind of stale for me, though.
Something is off, though. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be stale. But something is stale here. Mm-hmm. I do like that Aleister and Zelina are together.
Yes.
I do like that a lot. I don't know where you're placing this guy. Is he just the character that you bring out for the entrance? Or are you going to do something?
Yeah, I wonder if her having a death in her family, I think she lost a really close uncle.
Who's Zelina?
They were off TV. Maybe they were gone.
Maybe.
And it kind of pushed the story down a little bit.
I'm giving it time. I like them together. I like Aleister. I like Damian. I like Zelina. Zelina's from here, by the way. She's from Flushing. The Queens kid. I got to support my Queens people. Flash Legend and Nia Jax defeated the Kabuki Warriors via pinfall. The biggest conversation here was Nia's outfit.
Yeah. She looks like she slimmed down a little.
Everybody was talking about that. Good for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair attack Legend and Nia after the match. Cody attacks Drew McIntyre at home. This was a pre-taped home invasion.
Randy Orton, Triple H vibes?
A little bit. You know, dude, what do you think of the home invasion? I hate the home invasions.
Yeah. The one
even the one with Swerve. Even the one with Swerve and you know, going into his house. Like,
that was more done in a more eerie, creepy way. This one seemed more natural because they were clearly at, looked like Drew's real house. It might have been a stage house, who knows. But the way he pulled up his security camera and he goes, Cody's out front on his phone, I thought that was a nice touch. It seemed more realistic. The Triple H Randy Orton one from back in the day was so, you could just tell it was all fake.
And yeah.
Just was like, oh man.
Yeah. Let's see. There was a home invasion. He broke in. Nick Aldis was trying to convince Drew to come back. Cody would show up at the front gate, leading to a big brawl. So this is the program that they're going to Cody and Drew, which is fine.
Yeah. And the fine and now, in between. Not to skip over the next match, but then if you they went to the ring later and Aldis told Cody that he, will get stripped of the title if he touches Nick or touches Drew before the match. So
yeah,
that's where they're going, which is an interesting angle. So that's going to come into play at some point.
I think that's fine. I think that's a good, you know, in between whatever the next program is, match to have or program to have.
Mm-hmm.
Julia defeated Alba Fire with Chelsea Green. Cody cut a promo, but was interrupted by Nick Aldis, we set that. And Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov defeated DIY via pinfall. All right, that was a really good match, by the way. That was a really good match. WWE Tag Championship, the Wyatts versus MFTs, ended in a no contest. The Wyatt stuff is odd still. That never picked up anything. Didn't do it. It's not
on AAA this week. They were really good.
So, yeah, well, this weekend, AAA yeah. This, yeah. Yeah, AAA. I like it in AAA. I don't know why it doesn't present the same. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. MG, my producer, what did WWE do with the holiday schedule? They did it differently, right? During SmackDown, they were actually filming a SmackDown.
And a Raw. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, yeah. Not terribly far from me, but there was a lot of spoilers out there. I didn't really read them that much, but so they were taping two episodes. So next Monday's Raw and next Friday's SmackDown, so the whole holiday week, are already in the can. So that way the production team, I guess, gets the week
off.
That's
a good thing.
Which is nice because I feel like that wouldn't have happened in past years.
Listen, AEW, same thing, right? Their production team is off. They're not on the road. Everybody's off.
Yeah. Times have changed.
Listen, it's perfect. You know, it actually works out perfect for them because they all came from the UK, right? They came from the overseas trip. They landed in New York. They ran a show in New York, and they're done for the week. It's great.
That's AEW you're talking about.
Yeah, AEW. It worked out for them, too, so everybody's off next week. By the way, next week on SmackDown, you got Ilya Dragunov US Title Open Challenge, which I love that they're doing. Miz versus Joe Hendry. Okay, and Drew McIntyre returns. Andrade made a surprise appearance at House of Glory. He confronted Charles Mason, not to be mistaken with Charlie Manson, the crazy person, the cult leader. He's the Hog World Champion. So I guess this is the program. I don't know what this means as far as Andrade being allowed to do things.
Well, he was also at Puerto Rico last week.
He was in Puerto Rico. Issa, my good friend Issa, that's a commentator for that promotion in Puerto Rico, interviewed him. So I don't know. I don't know what this means. His contract situation is fascinating because you really, as an independent contractor, you really cannot be locked from doing anything. Yeah. So if he has a good lawyer, then this will be settled.
It sounds like WWE is doing him a solid and letting him, hey, you can work on these fringe independents as long as you're not on national TV type thing. Yeah. Sounds like that's what they're doing.
But he was fired.
Which is so bizarre.
How are you able to dictate someone's income like that when they're not an employee? And they never were. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Definitely going to end up in the courts for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think that. We'll see what happens there. I don't know. I think him in AEW would have been great. I was looking forward to him being in AEW.
Well, he might still end up there.
He might still end up there. He probably will. I mean, he's not going back to WWE. I mean, but never say never, right? Never say never.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the matches for AEW Dynamite, and we'll go over what's going on with the AEW Classic, the AEW Continental Classic standings here. AEW Dynamite on 34th Street. It'll air this Wednesday, 6 p.m. start. This was great. I'll tell you what I really liked. I'll tell you what I didn't like. I actually liked everything, to be honest with you. The show was really good. You got Takeshita and Orange Cassidy. This is the Blue League. This is the Continental Classic Blue League. Takeshita versus Orange Cassidy. Continental Classic Blue League. Roderick Strong versus Mascaro Dorado. That opened up the show. So, you know, this is interesting. You know this is not the same Mascaro Dorado, right? Grand Metalik. Yeah. This is not Grand Metalik. Mm-hmm. And right. Somebody mentioned to me, how young could he have been a couple of years ago when he was in WWE? I said, it's not the same guy. This is not the original Mascaro Dorado. This is not the one from a couple of years ago. This is not the Grand Metalik Mascaro Dorado. That guy is 37 years old. This guy is 23. And he's unbelievable. He's really good.
Putting him in this tournament, they definitely have very highly of him for sure.
You know what? I'll tell you one thing. I'll give you one spoiler, and it tickled me. During this match and during the Bandido match, the crowd started chanting Feliz Navidad. They started singing Feliz Navidad over and over again.
That's not a spoiler. That's just funny.
I'm gonna give you a little spoiler here, and I'm curious. That's why I said I'm curious how the crowd came through on this show. You got Pac versus Jack Perry, Continental Classic Gold Match. Dynamite Diamond Ring Finals. You got Ricochet and Bandido. MJF wrestled. He's in action. Chris Statlander, Jamie Hayter, face-to-face, and Mina and Marina in a match. I'm not giving you spoilers here, but I would... Listen, it's a fun show. It's a really fun show. This is all leading to World's End next week. As of right now, I think they're going to do better this year for the ticket sales than last year for World's End, which is a good sign for them. It is a good sign. Continental Classic, you got Gold League winner versus the Blue League winner. Then you got another semifinal, Blue League versus Gold League. You got the finals.
They're doing the semifinals and the finals on
Yeah,
on
so
the show.
It's going to be three matches. Yeah, they're going to have three Continental matches, and they're going to crown who the new winner is. Who do you think wins this?
Oh, man. So we should go through these points really quick.
So these points do not reflect what was recorded, right? This is...
Right.
Okay.
This is after what aired Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon. Okay. So right now, this is the Gold League. Jack Perry has three. Pac has six. Kevin Knight
has 6.
The rest of
the league all have 6.
Mike Bailey has 6. Kyle Fletcher, 6. Okada, 6. Wow, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five-way tie.
I just hope they don't. And they're very similar how they're doing the other one, too. I just hope they don't end up with some sort of three-way in the semifinals, which has happened before. I'm not sure I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. Blue League, you got Orange Cassidy with 6, Takeshita with 7, John Moxley with 6, Claudio with 7, and 0 for Roderick Strong, and 3 for Mascara Dorada. So that's all leading up to that. Who do you think takes it? I think it's going to be Okada and Takeshita.
That's what it should be. That mm-hmm. would make
and,
sense. Yep. You know, a dark horse there, I'd say Claudio. I'd love to see Claudio get that spot. He kind of deserves it.
Claudio would be great. But you know, there's two things here. One, you got to get to Takeshita and Okada, right? You have to get to that because that is actually one of the best
builds.
But like a good slow, not a bad slow. Like this has been in the making. They've actually committed months to this, which AEW tends not to. They like to jump head first sometimes. I think this is the most calculated angle that people are looking forward to, program that people are looking forward to. I appreciate the slowness of this. But do you have them wrestle a couple days prior to their big Tokyo Dome matches?
Yeah, that's...
And you know, like, who wins, who loses?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very political ending there. You have Okada and you got Tanahashi. And you got Takeshita as their IWGP champion.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. That should be the match. Let's say that's going to be the match.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, this is a winner-take-all match for Takeshita because it's Yota Tsuji, and I've been screaming at the top of my lungs that Yota Tsuji should be the guy for them this year.
Yeah.
So if that's
you've been a little excited over him for a few years.
A couple years because I saw it. Listen, I'm not patting myself on the back here, okay? But I do have the clairvoyancy to see who could do really well given a chance. For years I've been talking about this, and so other people too. Listen, I'm making a joke here, right? But Yota Tsuji is the guy for them. He has to be, because really there's nobody else.
We're talking New Japan.
Clarify. Listen, right now you look at this card, right? You look at this Wrestle Kingdom card, and I'll get back to World's End. You look at the Wrestle Kingdom card, you got Okada, you got Tanahashi, you got Takeshita, you got Yota Tsuji, and then what else? As far as their big heavyweights go, right? Like, that's the story right there. Everything else is just really, you know, you got Evil and Aaron Wolf,
honestly,
which is going to be a good match. You got El Desperado and Fujita and Ishimori and Sho for the IWGP Junior title. It's a lot of moving parts here. These two matches are the clearest of, this is what New Japan Pro Wrestling is. This is what it should be. Obviously, the Tanahashi match and the Okada match is going to be a little different than their previous because Tanahashi is, you know, his knees are made out of porcelain. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully. Poor man, I don't know how many high five flows that man could do in his... I think he's at a minus now. He owes. He owes him.
Very much.
He's at a minus five. He's gone over the limit.
For them is kind of their John Cena retirement.
Of course it is. And
so
Okada should beat him.
Big part of that show. Yeah.
I think Okada should beat him. Now that Okada is doing stuff in New Japan, use him as your finisher. Use him as your mate, you know, your guy. Why not? I don't understand. Why not? Why can't you do it? You also have AEW Women's Tag Champions, Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron. I love both of them. Defending against Mercedes Moné and Athena. This will probably go, you know, they'll retain.
They're going to retain, and this is where I think Mercedes melts.
Yeah, Mercedes starts melting right here. AEW World Women's Champion, Chris Statlander, defends against Jamie Hayter. Samoa Joe defends against Swerve, Hangman, and MJF in a four-way.
Okay, so what'd you think of MJF's return this week?
Well, I knew about it. I told you about it. I thought it was good. I like what they're doing here. I like where this is going. Swerve and Hangman. I'm not gonna spoil anything. I'm not gonna tell you yes or no, because I know the answer. Okay. But I'm not gonna say yes or no, and I'm not leading you down MJF's path. I don't want to spoil. I promise myself for the rest of you, I'm not spoiling anything for anybody. But I do like that Joe has become this like in between champion, you know, and I'm okay with how they use him because everybody knows how tough Joe is. It's not, nobody looks at him as just like a halfway champion. People are excited right. that Joe has that title. And I think it just adds more to Swerve and Hangman. I think MJF being in here, I'm curious on how it's going to play out because it's a lot of moving parts. AEW doesn't do these, especially for world titles like this. They don't have a lot of four ways and triple threats like this. But I'm okay with this and I'm curious to see where it goes because there's obviously a story that you're building here. Who's the heel? Joe? Is Max a heel? Max is not a heel. Hangman is not a heel. Swerve is not a heel.
Coming off kind of in between, yeah.
He's a cool heel. He can't be a heel anymore. You'll hate him, but you love him. So I think Joe being that tough monster is... Actually, you know what's funny? Doesn't even matter. Everybody's beloved in this match. Every single person in this four-way is beloved. So whoever wins it, people are going to be happy. Wrestling Observer Live, we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. I want to touch on this really quickly. Triple H show last night. I watched some of it because I was very tired when I got home and very hungover this morning. But I did see Rey Mysterio, Rey Fenix emerge victorious in the main event. They defeated El Grande Americano, which is a huge star now there. And Dominic Mysterio, again, a huge star everywhere. Thanks to the help of Penta, who prevented Americano from using a foreign object. Penta instead put the object under his own mask and attacked Dominic. Fenix took out Americano, and Rey ended up pinning his own son following the 619. Dude, Triple A is a great promotion. And Canelo Alvarez was ringside for the opening. I thought it was interesting because watching him with who came out? It was Mr. Iguana, right? Mr. Iguana was there.
And LaParca.
LaParca. And they did the LaParca thing, you know, he did the pose. I thought that was great.
Yeah, and he got a big pop. It's just his hometown Guadalajara, though.
Also,
so
Brian Alvarez is reporting, our very own Brian Alvarez is reporting that that Dominic Mysterio suffered an injury during the end of the match. He injured his shoulder while taking a DDT from his father near the end of the main event. It's possible that it's a separated shoulder. I hope not. Which, some, you know, those things pop back in. I've separated my shoulder. I was fine after a couple of weeks. But I'm not wrestling. So I don't know how fine he'll be in a couple of weeks. Guys, next week is Christmas. If you're celebrating, a Merry Christmas. If not, Happy Holidays. It's a fun time of year. Enjoy it. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. See you next week.